Yes, hello and welcome. Through bile, I've spit. I feel terrible. awful feeling to be welcoming you to a new episode of Less Than Jay. Took a week off. We were sick last week, and then right on time to be here at the end of a dog water.
Frustrating. Awful.
Garbage series against the New York Yankees, dropping 3 of 4. Absolutely, like, lose your mind, frustrating all four games, basically. Even the win was not a satisfying win, really. It was like a, thank God, sort of win. The kind of series loss that always makes me basically list out every single flaw that I have in my head. I'm trying to be positive. There's a bunch of positives that I do want to touch on, but coming straight off the loss, this is the kind of games where I sit down and I'm like, okay, here's every problem I have with the team. So that's the kind of mood that I find myself in tonight. Jake, you were at the game. How do you feel?
Basically the same, to be honest. It was one of those games that was so specifically frustrating because, like, this is going to sound very not analytic focused, I guess.
Or not like, not like usual, right? Not like
yeah, of course, right. But no, it was just one of those games where, like, there was never the feeling in the building that they were going to win the game. Mm. Like, even when they loaded the bases in the, what is that, the 8th, I think? 7th or the 8th? And when Vladdy pinch hit and everyone got very excited, which was actually the best part of the whole game.
Sure.
But there's a few games in the last couple weeks, I guess especially last weekend against Atlanta, where, like, they never felt out of it in any game, in any situation. And they felt like that as well, maybe a week ago. I forget what series it was, but there's another one where it was like, oh, it doesn't matter what the score is, they'll come back. This was like the opposite of that. There was no, like, energy in the building, really. And other than when Vladdy came up, it was never like, you just feel it. It was just very like, oh, okay, they're not winning. Like, by like the, even though, like, Barrios was actually pretty good, by like the fourth inning, it was just like, they're not winning this game.
Like, Yankees baseball. That's what it was.
And, like, what's especially frustrating, not that, like, I mean, I know we're going to get into this regarding the lineup and the depth and all that, but, like,
yeah,
the Yankees lineup, like, the Yankees aren't good.
That's right.
That's what, like, Aaron Hicks was hitting ninth tonight and is barely hitting better than Espinal, who was our nine hitter tonight. Like, that Yankees roster is entirely carried by Aaron Judge, who, like, other than the fact that he's, like, obviously cheating, is, like, he's ridiculous. Like, it's just, I haven't, even last year when, like, he didn't set a record, it was, he never felt, like, invincible in all the Yankees games that I saw last year.
Well, they were smart enough to pitch around him last year. Holy
also,
Jesus.
That also. Which also, like, there's nobody else in this lineup that can hit.
Unbelievable.
Like, but, like, every time he came to the play, and, like, good on the crowd for, like, getting on him and booing from his first at bat. Like, it was nice to see that, like, an aware Jays crowd. Yeah. But, like, man, he's ridiculous. Like, just walk him every time at this point. Like, like, if like, the ghost of Anthony Rizzo is going to beat you one batter later, like, fine. But, bad. Man, it was bad. It was just so frustrating. And, like, I am very frustrated personally that not all of my fears preseason are coming true, but, like, a lot of them are.
I mean, this is all of them. If you had a problem with the team, I think it popped up at some point in this series.
That's a good way to put it.
I do want to do the positives, right? The staff has been unbelievable. Aside from Manoah, I think Kikuchi might be the smoke a little bit clearing from the smoke and mirrors, but he's pitched well.
He's fine. He's the five. Like, exactly he doesn't have to be.
Well, he's the four right now.
No, he's a five.
Well, I like Manoah.
Oh, you're putting Manoah. Yeah.
He's clearly putting up five numbers.
I was going to say, in our preseason preview show, one of my predictions was that Hyunjin Ryu would rejoin the rotation, but he wouldn't be taking out
Kikuchi.
And that was said to be saying that he was going to take out Barrios. But now
it's been bad, and it never looked worse than it did this week. Just sort of, you know, the Yankees are very good, a team with a plan, clearly. Like, they're very good at executing their plan, and did it throughout the whole week. They really just, man, they're like a UFC fighter that is like an incredible wrestler, you know, where it's like you get dragged into fighting their fight when you play the Yankees. You get dragged into your benches chatting. You and the coach are like, is Pete Walker a fucking idiot that should shut up? Like, are they right? Like, it's really frustrating. It's really frustrating to watch, and it's really frustrating to lose to.
And it's at the game, like, obviously, like, Yankees fans coming to Blue Jays games are always the loudest, most obnoxious people.
Yeah, and their team hits home runs in that stadium. So.
But in a similar way, like, you sort of, not that, like, I didn't, like, get into a shouting match, but, like, it's annoying, and like it drags you into it. I wanted to be my gut reaction was to like want to yell, but I didn't because it's May, and I was sober. But it's just they very much do bring out a specific thing in everybody.
So, as I said, a lot of things bubbling up to the surface. If you had a problem with the team, it showed up this week, I think is what I said, ever so astutely. I know the thing for me that is really spotlit, and I think we knew this before. We've talked about it quite a bit, but I think we're at it's time to action on this versus it's time to talk about it. The depth is just, it's just not acceptable for a team, for legit, like, if we're being realistic, that they're playing very well, right? They have a great record at home. It was better before the Yankee series, but they're playing well at home. They put a lot of road games. When they look very good against other teams, they look very good, and they look like they have very well-rounded. The bench is just not tenable. We can't do this again. We can't go into June with the pinch hit options are Espinal, Lucas, and Biggio. You just can't do it. The division is too good. You've seen in the division, everybody's playing this expanded schedule, so everybody's getting it easy. You swoon for, you know, a quarter of the year in the middle and then pick it up at the end and make it. That's not going to be on the table in the way that it was the last couple of years. They're not going to be able to. And I'm not saying this is a 5-alarm fire, but you have to have a different player type, at least. It can't be the same guy three times like it is, where it's like a guy who can play good defense and is a good base runner and, you know, has a good either contact rate or a good plate discipline from Biggio, knows to not swing because he can't hit anything. Hasn't drawn a walk since like the first week of April. But regardless, you have to have a different type of guy, at least. You may as well bring up Spencer Horwitz is sort of where I am with this. Is like you may as well have a guy that has a tool. Then none of these guys that it's C plus across the board, right? Give me a guy that is at least a B plus in one category and a D minus in the other. I would take that over these three guys that there's just no ceiling to project for them. I don't see it, and I think. I mean, listen, I think the camel's back broke on Wednesday with Biggio. I think listen, people are attached to this guy. I get it. You were watching the team and they were bad in 2020 and 2019, and he reminds you of that, and you believe he has a track record because of 4 years ago in 100 games. It's been 2.5 full years here of not being a usable player with where the team is, and I don't see the skill set really helping them because the good base runner part, it's not enough. The team is good at base running now. They don't need that in the way that they did before. You have to get a bench bat because we're relying a viral illness, and suddenly, you know, the bottom of the lineup is an absolute graveyard, or Vlad missing any time at all, Bo missing any time at all right now would be a disaster. Listen, you know, any team loses important players, it's that way. But, you know, the Yankees are doing this without Stanton. It happens. Teams have players get injured. You have to insure yourself on this. And listen, I know you could project on the AAA guys, the spring training guys, all of them have been bad. Relvis has the weirdest line I've ever seen in my entire life. Like 11 home runs and like four other hits, and then everything else was a strikeout. Barger's been hurt. They don't really have a guy breaking the door down in AAA, but I think you got to do something. You have to do at least a like shake it up move. So I wouldn't be surprised if Spencer Horwitz comes up this weekend. That's a total guess, but I'm at the point where I think you have to you have to show action with the lineup because there's just no options. And it if you're going to be a serious contender and not just a team that has a good year, you have to start filling these holes.
I think what's most frustrating about it, other than everything about it, is how obvious it was. Like, I don't mean to keep being like, we're always right, but like, it's just, it was so clear from game one that they needed, I know we had called it the fourth outfielder, that was just seeming like the shorthand for it, but like, and that was because we thought that the injury issue would be Springer and Kiermaier, which it still might be. Like, let's not get ahead of ourselves here. But like, there was that sort of clump of guys of Biggio, Espinal. We had Witt in there, who has sort of played himself out of it, but also not really.
Well, he's put himself out of it by not being like
unplayable. Terrible, yeah, right? Exactly. And then there's the 26 man who might as well just not be on the roster, frankly. Whoever it has been so far, like Nathan Lucas might as well not be on the team the way things have gone, which is not like, not especially any fault of his, but like, cause it's not like he's had a lot of opportunities to be dog shit. He just like, isn't part of the rotation, except to come in and as a defensive sub or a pinch runner.
No, there's no spot. There's no at bat they will give him. There's no matchup for him.
Which is a point. So, which to me is a pointless roster spot.
I agree.
But so there's that clump of guys in whichever position was going to be missing a guy, which was going to happen because it's sports and like you're not going to have all of your key guys play 162 games ever. So we knew that they needed the extra competent guy. Didn't have to be great. Didn't have to be like, it wasn't like, let's go make the Varsho trade and also trade for Brian Reynolds, which like would have been nice, but that wasn't even the discussion. They just needed an extra not shitty potty, basically.
Can I have a major league player out there? They don't have major league players.
Exactly. And we all knew it. And it's just, it's frustrating to me personally, because I am personally offended the most, but it's frustrating because it's the same argument I made a year ago about the bullpen, where it felt like they sort of half-assed the pen and they said, we'll fix it later. And they did. Like, I'm not saying they didn't do a good job mid-season shoring up the bullpen last year, because they did. And the bullpen this year is better. You know, it's not, we've talked a lot here, like, it's not my favorite bullpen I've ever seen, but it's fine. Like, it's a handful of guys, but at least there's a handful and not two.
Yeah.
But, like, now it feels like the bench was just, it's the same thing. It's just, like, and, like, I'm not saying they, like, cheaped out or, like, didn't want to spend or any of that nonsense. It just feels like I said it a couple weeks ago, I don't think this front office is good at making that last move. I think they're good at building a very good team and bringing guys together and finding seeing holes and that are like big, big issues and filling those. But I don't think they're good at identifying like the extra step you need to win a World Series.
So a lot there. I'll focus on the last thing with, I feel like they just played the market wrong this offseason, because the reality is right now in mid-May, it's just a really hard slot to fill. You have two options. You promote from within, which they are not able to do right now because there's nobody worth doing. Maybe Horowitz as a 26th guy that can have at least an at-bat matchup. Or you get these guys in the free agent market, because teams don't trade useful players in May. Pittsburgh thinks they have a playoff spot right now, right? Like, there's no team that is trading you.
And to your point, with the balanced schedule, like, any team can lead any of the bad divisions at any time.
Simply, absolutely right. So it's not an easy thing to fill in May. You're supposed to either promote from within or you sign a free agent here and you handle this in the off season with a trade. And I think, you know, in November and December, I remember seeing the outfield free agent list a couple of times and being like, well, it's not that inspiring, but there's a lot of guys on here and you could wait for that market to come to you. And then the market, nobody came to them, right? They didn't have a specific promise of at-bats they could give them. They were like, we're sort of good with our outfield. We're doing Varsho. We're doing, you know, Springer's going to be healthy the whole year, wink, wink. And we have Kiermaier. They were like, anybody that's coming here, you're getting fourth outfield at-bats. And nobody wanted that. And they didn't get anybody. They waiver wire Jordan Luplow is what they did for that spot.
Yeah.
It just feels like maybe they got half too cute with the outfield market. They've done a great job in the pitching market. Bassett is an incredible signing already so far. Gausman the year before was excellent. Kikuchi has been a fifth starter. It's innings, it's depth because also we talk about depth. There's no sixth starter.
No,
you're like Manoah's not pitching well. Oh, who should pitch then?
Yeah, let Nate throw five. Like, what's
he can't get six outs. He's a good reliever. He can't get six outs. Clearly,
yeah,
he can get you three. I worry that they only have the A lineup. I like the A lineup. Yes. The A lineup has played good baseball. They don't. There's no matchups. There's no strategic. There's nothing you can really do. You can hope the nine guys are healthy and play good baseball. They're playing pretty well. They're playing pretty good.
Well,
they're playing pretty good pace.
They are.
They're keeping pace in a good division.
The big dogs are playing great.
Yeah.
The second tier guys, I have a lot of concerns about.
Yeah, I just mean as a team result wise, they're 25.
Oh yeah. 19. Yeah, 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 for sure.
Yeah, we can go player by player here in a minute. Actually, we'll not break yet, but yeah, absolutely. They're half the lineup, you can say, is giving you nothing. It's a miracle that they're winning any games at all. But you know, they're managing to do it.
The defense is good. The pitching has been good, but there's nothing behind it.
Well, like you said, even with the Yankees, right? The reality is a lot of the teams they're playing aren't good at all. Is the more accurate thing, right? It's like they have enough good players that like they're rolling over anybody out of the division. They're just sort of, it's not really that hard to do, even because they have the pitching and then the hitting is good enough to make up for it. When they're playing these real tough teams, it gets a little tougher. You had a thing there. Sorry, I talked for a long time.
No, keep going. You're saying correctly.
Well, yeah, there's just an overall, it's rocky footing. They're playing well, but it's really rocky footing. And I think you see it bubbles up for me in these Yankees series when I don't know what, like, you know, other than the bullpen decisions, there's not a lot Steiner really can do. When you're in situations where you're when pinch hitting Espinal is even a consideration, you're like, well, I guess there's a real, I just don't think they did the offseason right. I think they made some moves that I think they would stand by. Like, I think they still stand by the trades, even as good as the Arizona players have been. I think they'd still stand by that spiritually and like as a philosophical move. I just don't think they played the rest of the outfield market right. There was no trade that materialized. And now you're looking at another month and a half before a real trade can happen. They can maybe pilfer a guy that's having a terrible year or like waiver wire a guy. But a big trade is at least 3 weeks, 4 weeks away. So I don't know. It all bubbles up for me in these situations.
Yeah. And like, I think what really concerns me with the lack of depth is obviously we saw it the last 3 days with Vlad being out. Like, that lineup is kind of brutal looking without Vlad in there. Like, Varsho, I don't know about his offensive abilities. Chapman's still playing well, but is coming back to earth from his like earth-shattering start.
Yeah, I mean, he's not gonna hit 400.
He's not gonna hit 450, but like,
but he's also been, I think in May his WRC plus is like 60. He hasn't been good.
Kirk has had exactly the regression I was afraid of.
Five extra base hits.
Jansen's been okay. Bo's been great. Springer's still struggling. Belt has had a great May, thank God. Because, like, frankly, if he hadn't, it'd be even uglier. Witt is exactly what he's always going to be, which is fine if he's hitting eighth, frankly.
Yes, that's right.
Espinal and Biggio might as well not even take an at-bat. And so what concerns me is actually, no, I guess it is what we saw today. I was going to say what concerns me is when there's that outfield injury we all know is coming.
Mm-hmm.
But Kiermaier has been sick the last couple of days, which yeah, like
they can't even get sick. The lineup falls apart if somebody gets sick.
That's what I mean. Like two starters getting hurt at once is not a weird thing to happen.
No.
If Vlad's knee was worse, let's just say hypothetically, let's just say if Vlad was out for 5 weeks and then Kiermaier or Springer or Varsho even was out for also 5 weeks at the same time. There's like 5 through 9 is just nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's what we saw tonight, which I think contributed to sort of that feeling I was talking about earlier of like, oh, they're not coming back. Cause there was just never a feeling of like, oh, once you got past Chapman, really, it was kind of like, there's nobody here that I'm like, oh, they'll get it done.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's the depth is a real problem. And I'm not, again, like we have said many times, we're not saying that all three of Biggio, Espinal, and the 26 man slots need to be filled. Just right. One of them needs to be filled.
There needs to be another guy. There needs to be a different guy here.
It's not saying that because like I know like we've talked this before when I've sort of questioned depth and it's like, well, nobody has four guys on the bench that you can just bring in and be like, great, except maybe the Dodgers. But like they don't have any because like I don't think I mean I know it's being talked about a lot, so I'm not gonna say it's no one's talking about, but like Biggio and Espinal are basically unplayable at this point. If we're being honest, they put the OPSs up on the Jumbotron now instead of average when they list everybody.
Mm.
After Chapman, I think Belt is the only guy with an OPS over 7.
Tough. Again, you're at a game with no Kiermaier, who by the way leads the team in OPS.
Like Springer's at like 643.
And Vladdy and not in the lineup tonight.
Yeah. Like it's not good.
It's not good.
But as you said, thankfully they're getting good enough pitching and playing well enough that it's not a disaster yet. But yeah, here you go. Yeah. Jansen's OPS is 629. Vlad's over 9. Witt's 678. Varsho's 676. Springer's 617. Yeah, Belt is the only guy other than Vladdy, Chapman, and Bo to have an OPS over 7.
Not what you want. It's not what you want. Yeah. And I mean, listen, the story of the week, I'm sure you saw it in the middle of all this, is the pining for the Arizona guys. I'm sure you've seen it. I know you've seen it. Your thoughts on the Gurriel and Moreno. I mean, I'll pull the numbers up here quickly before I let you jump on that. Moreno hitting 321, 345, 402, 106 OPS plus. The real story is Gurriel. He's already got 7 home runs. That's 2 more than he had last year. 310, 373, 924 OPS. 152 OPS plus. He's been red hot. I mean, we know how it goes. He hit every pitch thrown to him basically in the last month. In May, he hit everything. He's doing what Matt Chapman did in April.
Man, Evan Longoria is on that team. That's wild. Yeah, I mean, like, I'm not surprised.
Right, this happens.
Like, it's offensively, I didn't like this trade from minute one.
It's true.
I understand it, especially from a like, look, right, Lourdes is the guy who every 2 months he's going to be the hottest hitter you've ever seen, mm-hmm. In every sense of the word. But we know what his outfield defense is, or lack Certainly. Thereof. And I understand that the Varsho trade was, the purpose of that was not to get another guy who can hit, frankly. It's not surprising. I think there's two things that are really frustrating about this. Three things, really. One is, I think we can say now with hindsight, granted, they traded the wrong catcher.
Harsh.
I just don't know how everybody didn't see Kirk regression coming. It just seems so obvious. But I get it. I get it. I'm not saying this to be like they fucked up or anything. This is all hindsight and also sort of not, but like mostly hindsight. Also, Springer not hitting is making it all look so much worse.
Yeah. Yeah, he's sort of coming out of it. When it was at its worst, it was like, man, if this is not here, they're serious trouble.
Springer not hitting makes losing both Lourdes and Teoscar really tough. The other thing that's frustrating, that is the only thing I think that you can really look to, not with hindsight, that you can look to and be like, that was a mistake, was the timing and the way they traded Teoscar. Swanson has been amazing. Swanson has been by far the best reliever on the team. I'm thrilled to have him on the team. I think he's great. This is not about saying they shouldn't have gone and gotten Eric Swanson. But the timing of trading Teoscar before the winter meetings, before the market had been set for anything, now you look at it, and with the lack of depth and some of the lack of offense, you look at it, it's like, and also the way that the reliever market for trades went down in the end, you kind of look at it, it's like, well, they probably could have got Swanson for a lot less than Teoscar.
You think?
And then it's like, well, then does that mean that you can make the Varsho trade and then like your DH is Teoscar? And, or it means, can you make the Varsho trade with Teoscar instead of Lourdes and get someone better than Varsho? Like, it's there. I feel like that move has a lot of domino effect on how the offseason went. And it, like you said earlier, it's just, I think a failure to read the market. Which is not the first time these guys have. It's not as bad a misread as the Edwin Kendrys Morales was a few years ago. But it might have more severe consequences because the team's actually trying to be good.
I guess my answer to that would be, I feel like the Swanson trade without Teoscar is probably then Swanson for Gurriel, right? Mm-hmm. It's sort of the lesser price for Swanson is probably Gurriel instead. It's sort of like, if that's the type of player they wanted, if the price for Swanson was an MLB ready hitter that can play the outfield, then it's probably Gurriel is the less costly version of that. So maybe then you can't make the Varsho trade. Part of me feels like it was a means to being able to make the Varsho trade.
But that's what, right. I mean. Then I feel like there's a trickle down there of like, if it's Lourdes for Swanson, then does Moreno Teoscar net you a much better player than Dalton Varsho?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to say. I think they were really keyed in on Varsho. I think they had the Varsho deal in the bag the whole time. Like,
I agree. Which I think you can also then sort of look at and be like, do they sort of get these ideas in their head of what they want to build and then sort of get locked into it, if that makes sense?
Sure.
Without sort of, because it's like, oh, we need outfield. Last year, the outfield defense was so bad. We need to fix that. But they're so locked in on that idea that it might come at a cost.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's the case. And like, this is not to say that Dalton Varsho isn't a good baseball player, because he is. It's not like they traded for Kevin Biggio or Santiago Espinal, but it's like, but it, I don't know. It just, those two moves feel very iffy at the way the team ended up sort of coming together and being built.
Yeah. Yeah.
And again, this is all hindsight and it's all, you know what it is, but it's, I don't know.
It's frustrating.
It is. It's very frustrating. And like, to your point, I'm just looking at the guys you can go out and sign right now, and it's bleak.
Yeah. It's the free agent market's done. It's
Odubel Herrera.
you sign somebody, they need to then have a spring training's worth of getting ready. Like you
sign, right. Yeah, good point.
It's over. The free agent market is over. It's waiver fodder. It's waiver fodder or a guy with a track record that is underperforming and maybe going to get cut from a good team. That's sort of what you can do right now.
Finally go sign Didi Gregorius.
Don't tempt me with a good time. yeah, I mean, this is what makes it so difficult. And what makes it so frustrating is sort of knowing the mechanics of baseball. It's a hard issue for them to fix right now. They could do it in season.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a while, and you just hope that the way the cookie crumbles and the way that a season unfolds doesn't force their hand on this or put them in a spot where being in this position is disadvantageous for an extended period because of how good the division is. Some positives, quick positives. I do want to get positive. Again, Bassett's been unbelievable. I can't believe how much I've enjoyed. After how much I hated his first start, I can't believe how much I enjoy watching Bassett. I'm in on the quirky pitch mix. I'm even in on the like struggling with the pitch comp.
Oh no, I still hate it. I still hate the pitch comp so much.
I'm in on the like he's a miserable old bastard too, just like me.
Yeah, okay.
And he's also like muttering at it and swearing at it. I think the other day when it was clear that he was like taking the ball, where he was like, I'm I need a strike so bad. I think it was 0-2. He's like, I'm gonna wait and automatically count on the one ball because I want to get this next pitch just right. I was like, that actually endeared me to him quite a bit. So I'm enjoying the Hound starts. They've been my favorite starts of the rotation right now. I don't know why they can't score any runs for Gosman. He's been great. I think he leads the American League in strikeouts.
They can't score any runs for anybody this week.
Yeah, that's the fact. Other positives, Bo. Even the game he threw away with the bad throw, man, he's been so good every single game, basically in the batter's box. I like him basically right now to get a hit more than anybody on the roster.
Yeah,
by a pretty big gap, to be frank with you. I had that thought tonight. I was like, man, other than the Bo at bats, I don't have the like can't turn away at bat in this lineup right now. There's just no other guy that you're like reliably is going to have a good competitive at bat and do damage. He's the only guy with flat out. So no complaints there. Everything else has really gone to shit.
yeah. It's the offense is really ugly right now.
Like it's
it's just, there's nothing. There was just nothing tonight of like, I can count on this guy to like get the big hit. Like when they loaded the bases, my first thought was, oh, it's about to be a double play. Because any runner on base, apparently, then the team's like, I'm sitting double play. How about that? Seems fun. It's trouble. It's trouble. It's concern. It's very concerning. I think there was I forget who it was. You sent a tweet like 10 minutes ago or just before we started recording about exactly what you said, about how this kind of series really highlights sort of the worries. And someone had a really good reply, if I can just find it. Yeah, your Five Alarm Fire tweet. A good reply that just said, it's not a huge list of problems, but the items are profound.
Yeah.
And I think that's bang on.
My replies are generally pretty good. We know ball around here. What can I say?
We'll love to talk it.
I love to talk ball, man. This is the exact kind of team that I could talk about forever too. Because again, the other parts of it is like the reason it's so frustrating is because they are, I see the shell of a very good team, right?
Yes. Yes.
And another part of it is like, I recognized during this series that like the game they won, they were like 0-for-12 with runners in scoring position at some point. That happens to good teams. Good teams go through like parts where they can't cash in runners in scoring position. And then for a whole month they do, and they look unbeatable. And we've already seen them do that for stretches here.
They did it on the weekend. They did it like exactly 6 days ago.
Exactly right. They're going to look good again, and we're going to be in again. But I think it is important to go through these stretches where a good, I hesitate to even say the Yankees are a good team. Important games happen and you come up short and you have to examine why, right? You have to examine, you know, what is dooming us in these spots. And I thought it was pretty clear in the Yankee series that it was depth. I think it was pretty clear that they were they were okay with Bo doing damage against them. They sort of seemed okay with that, and that they were going to cruise through the bottom part of the lineup. And Jano bit them in the extra innings in game three, and every other game, they were right. They were sort of free to do that. And it's not like they have a real murderer's row of pitching. Pitching couldn't have gone much better. You won the Cole game. Herman got kicked out of the game for cheating. A ton of bullpen innings. I don't know. They did an opener in another game. And you know, Ryan Weber is shutting you down. It's frustrating.
Yeah, it was like they slipped. I think that's what's so sort of worrisome about it is, like, not only did they do nothing today, but they just looked overmatched against not great pitchers.
God, I hate the fucking Yankees
so much. Like, they're just bringing in guys who have like 5+ ERAs, and we can't.
Aaron Boone, every inning of every game,
oh my cutting God. To it,
and he's always yelling at the other team's bench. It's crazy.
Yeah, I hate them so much.
Your Blue Jays are 25-18, and they go into a weekend series. They are hosting the Birds. It's Birds against Birds. It's the Orioles in town for 3, 7, 3 o'clock, and 1 o'clock for the weekend.
This could be a ugly weekend.
And then hang on to your shit. 4 against Tampa after that. It's it's not fun. It's 11 games in a row against the American League East. And listen, I said this before and I'll say it again. Like, you don't get to do the LOL, the American League East is crazy, and tweet the standings if you lose all the games against the American League East teams.
Yeah.
It's just that simple to me. You can play the, like, oh, curse this division bullshit. You got to beat the teams in your division when you play them. It's as simple as that to me. Yes, it is crazy. Everybody in the division has a winning record. Having a winning record against those teams is important. Doubly so with playing them a little bit less. So we will see. Yeah, Baltimore and then Tampa. It's going to be 7 games in 7 days. They're on a huge stretch, right? 30 games in 31 days. And then I think another 13 and 14. So they're,
yeah, I think it's 30 and 31.
Yeah. So tons of games, tons and tons of games. We're here. The dog days, no, what is it? Cat days of summer?
Cat days. Yeah, it's cat days.
Cat days is winter. The dog days of summer are here. It's fun, and we will see what they do heading into June. Anything else on the team you want to touch on?
No, I think it's all pretty, like, I think everything's pretty self-explanatory in a way. Not that we're not going to talk about it a lot, but it's like, what else is there to say, right?
Yeah, too true. We'll take a quick break. We'll do a little off topic and then into the mailbag and then wrap her home. Take her home. Wrap her home.
Wrap her home.
Wrap her home and take her up.
Baseball, get out of here. It's time to get off topic. Baseball, get out of here. It's time to get off topic.
Okay, Jake, let's get to the old mailbag, or the new mailbag, I guess, technically. The latest mailbag. The first message comes from our old pal BK. Asked me a couple days ago this. I think it was set up because he was traveling. BK asks on Twitter, hypothetical situation, you will be on a 5-hour flight for the entirety of a key Jays game. Do you pay for the in-flight Wi-Fi to try to follow the game through a lagging game day? If so, what's the ceiling of how much you'd pay for that?
So I don't know how, like, air travel works anymore for this kind of thing. Cause I always see, like, Instagram videos of people watching games on the, like,
right.
Screens. Is that a thing now? Cause if so, then I would just do that, I guess.
I think you can pay for the Wi-Fi. And the assumption is that people have, like, Sportsnet Now or whatever.
Yeah. So, like, if it was a Jays playoff game and I was in the air, I would pay for whatever allowed me to best follow it, I would pay to do.
What's the ceiling on the payment you would make there?
Depends on the game, I think.
Yeah, it really does depend on how you define key Jays game. Because
if it was just like a big series against the Yankees in September, probably not that much.
Yeah.
But if it's like game six of a playoff series, like I'll as much as necessary.
You have to understand, from my point of view, coming from working in media and now not working in media, I'm not as precious about even the key regular season game. I'm just not as precious about seeing them. I know that there are just so many games in my life. There's just so many games that outside of a playoff game, I can deal with missing almost any regular season game, I would say. Like, I would have been fine not following today's Jays game and getting off the plane and being like, oh, they lost.
Yeah, agreed. I agree. The only time I think I've ever been mad that I was like in the air for a game, like a regular season game, was I was once flying back from PEI when they played like that 19 inning game. And it was just like morbid curiosity because I was able to watch the first 9 innings. And then when I landed for my connector flight, they were still playing. So it was kind of like, I didn't miss anything because nobody scored because it went for 19 innings, but it was just one of those like morbid curiosity things. Like, how is this game still going? But I agree with you. Like, if I had not seen tonight's game at all, I would not even think twice about it.
I think the ceiling for me is probably like a 5-hour flight.
Again, it depends on the game. If it's like game one, it's less than if it's like game five. You know
what I mean? Yeah, a playoff game, I think I would shell out $25, $30.
If it was like game seven of the ALCS, I would pay like $100 to make sure I could watch it.
Wow. If I knew I was watching it, yeah, yeah. You're right. I'm already on the plane.
Just to follow on game day, not much at all, frankly. I hate following games like that.
Yeah. Interesting.
Good question, though. It's funny, because I'm going away next week, I had been having the thought of like, oh man, if the Leafs go far,
I wouldn't worry about that.
I won't be in the city. And then I was like, but then I also thought of like, if I miss a couple Leaf playoff games, like it's fine.
Catch them next year, baby. Andrew Robertson, what's the most important thing in life you've had to bail on or miss because you were too sick, in theme with last week's episode being missed?
You know, I still have that many important things that happened in my life that I've had to miss. I also don't get sick very much.
When I was in comedy school, the very end of comedy school is stand-up showcases at Yuck Yucks. In hindsight, not really important at all, in the way that no one stand-up set is ever that important.
Set at Yuck Yucks, probably missed a lot of stories about how women are terrible.
Yeah. Well, no, you're on the stage. So,
oh, okay.
It's like there's a night, basically the graduating class is split into two nights, night one and night two. I was on night two. But you know, you're a class together. You go and support the homies and you cheer and you laugh and you make sure that the audience thinks that your friends are funny. And then it's the very end of your school and you have a great night and you remember it. I missed the first night because I had bad fish and chips and I thought I had been slipped mushrooms during the day because I was like, my eyes are dilating and I was like, whoa, I've not felt well and like faked food poisoning before. It was the first time I ever was like, oh, this is actually what food poisoning is. Because you're the only feeling you have is like, oh, I've been poisoned. It's like legitimately what being poisoned in the same way. The reason I thought it was like a mushroom trip was like, that is sort of a small dose of poison. I was like, oh my God, this is food poisoning. So I missed the first night of that. And like my girlfriend at the time was on that night. A couple of my closest friends. So like, I didn't see everybody's best set they'd ever had. And I didn't get to go cheer and we didn't get to go out after. Cause I was like in bed at like 7 o'clock.
I have a similar one. I didn't actually miss it though. When I used to play in a band in university, the night of our first show, I got really bad food poisoning, and it was just I didn't miss it, but I definitely remember being like, I'm gonna vomit on people right now, the whole time, and it was not fun. I've never really missed anything. I honestly like not to brag, but like I just don't get sick very often.
Damn.
So like I've never really had to. Oh, Cassie's mad at me now.
I was gonna say, and this is again, a week after having COVID and missing the show.
Yeah. Well, I could have done the show last week, but we were tired. We didn't feel good.
It's true.
But yeah, I just don't really have, like, I just don't get severely sick that much. Like, the
availability
worst
is the best ability.
Yeah. The worst I get usually is like a cold. And even that I haven't really had in a couple of years.
Paul Adam asks us, what's the most important thing you've ever lost? What's the coolest thing you ever randomly found and kept? Wow.
Ooh. Coolest thing I've ever found and kept or lost.
Well, what's the most important thing you ever lost? I mean, I used to lose coats.
Oh, yeah. I've lost many coats.
At like school, my mom would be like, how are you going to school with coats and coming home without coats? How is it possible? You're in a closed building. It's impossible for you to not have a coat or mitts. You're not going anywhere. You outside, inside. I don't understand.
Yeah, I've lost many a coat in my life, for sure.
Most important thing
I lost an iPhone once.
That sucks.
I left it in a cab on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, sorry. I lost a BlackBerry Pebble in a cab. I don't even know. I'd been 22 or 23, and I was absolutely shit-faced, out of town. The worst part. I was in Kitchener, and I lived in Toronto at the time. We went to a strip club, and I closed a cab door. And I guess the way that I got into the car, it fell out. Man, strip club parking lot in a Kitchener. That fucking phone was gone.
You want to hear a frustrating experience? Is trying to call a cab company and locate a lost phone on New Year's Eve.
Oh my God. Forget about it.
Did not get the phone back.
No, okay, that phone is just in like a dollar bill. It just vanishes into the air. That sucks.
I'm not sure I've ever found anything.
Coolest thing you ever randomly found and kept.
Found and kept. I don't know. Oh,
I have like a, I don't know if I still have it. Kept is probably a hard word. I've downsized so many times. I found
that's a good point.
When Canada won the hockey gold medal in 2012, I remember I found a little Canadian flag on the street, and I kept that and brought it around with me for a very long time. I don't think I still have it. It was my only little Canadian flag, and I was like, this is from like downtown Toronto the night Canada won it all. I was still new to the city, so I was still romantic about it.
Right. Yeah, I don't think there's anything I've ever kept. Again, to your point, like you downsize a lot and you get rid of stuff that you find for the most part. I don't think I have anything that I just like found and kept.
Anything in your past that you had found and kept for a little while?
Not off the top of my head. I guess like if we count like finding stuff in like parents' storage spaces or boxes or whatever. I have a couple things. Oh, sure. Cassie's picking up the horrible angel thing.
That's not. She didn't find that.
She did find that. She found it weirdly in the trash.
That's weird that someone would throw that out.
Extremely strange. It wasn't in the trash. What? It wasn't in the trash. I thought it was.
Someone didn't want it in their home.
Oh. So it was in the trash.
No, they were giving it away for please take it away from my house on buns.
Perfect.
Not because it's haunted.
My keychain I like found in my parents' basement. It's a commemorative keychain from the first Skydome game.
That's pretty cool.
And it's still my key. It's like faded and like most of like the print on it is like gone now because I've been using it for so long. But it's I guess that's one. I guess
that counts to me. Terry, of all the features at Rogers Center, either old or newly added. Which zoo is most likely to include in the basement reno? A Corona rooftop patio down there? That'd be pretty cool. Hard to have a rooftop in a basement.
Also, it's too loud.
Batting cage. They have the new batting cages. Elevated bullpen, maybe? I would love a bullpen in my basement. Wouldn't mind a panini station down there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Just a Cubano station in your house?
Yeah, a little smoked meat panini in the basement. A little bit of basement meat. Sounds good to me. Blake scoring big time.
A good one.
He's gotten enormous on social media, you know, Blake?
I mean, look, we can say we knew him when, so.
He he was our, you know, downright a low B, a low follower Twitter. And now he can't reply to anything without getting like 25 faves.
It happens when you're famous, man.
And many people replying to his tweet for us, you know?
I like to now reply to him to see if I can get people to get mad at me. Because he has all like the dummy sports followers now.
Sure.
And
he's massive.
It's fun to make like ivermectin jokes about Whit Merrifield in reply to Blake and see what happens.
I can't imagine what the experience must be like to be that popular.
You want
to
talk about like sifting through social media?
Well, because I serious post when I am absolutely seething. When people are like melting down.
Yeah, exactly.
That's when I do my like 250 characters, like as reasonable as I can possibly be tweet. If I do those, that means I'm fuming. I can't imagine what I would do. I can't imagine what I'd do if I did one of those and like people did the like way that they talk to radio hosts to me. I would. It happened to me once. I posted one hockey tweet all year and I got a reply from someone that was like, tried to injure our players. And I was like, dude, I couldn't. You could not get somebody less likely to engage with you about this than me.
A thing that I found very, very useful is I read an article. I think it was during the George Floyd protests a couple years ago about like engaging with dipshits on Twitter.
Yeah.
And the power of the mute button.
Yeah.
And just being like, if it's an account that like isn't, if it has less than like 1,000 followers, you just mute them. And it's
been, lobies, listen to this.
I have so many people muted on Twitter. It's unbelievable.
I mean, ironically, the blue check has helped. It's just like,
blue check.
Crazy how easy you get rid of those people.
If I get a blue check reply, it's automatically blocked.
That rocks so much. Anyway, Blake with a home run of question. What position will Biggio be playing primarily when he hits 25 home runs for the Rays next year? Yeah, I don't doubt it.
I do.
I do doubt it. Yeah, to be honest. Yeah, I think. But, you know, he could be a Ray. And a great reply. I think it was Drew who wrote shortstop because fuck you. Which is so true.
No, shortstop, I think for the Rays. He'll be a right fielder like he's always meant to be for the Rays. But I don't think Kevin Biggio is going to be a real Major League Baseball player.
I think this is a guy that I'm surprised he's not in the National League with Lourdes Gurriel Jr., who the more I think about it, it's like, man, is that ever the perfect National League West outfielder?
Yeah.
The guy that if you never watched them, you'd be like, we got to go get this guy. And then
You're right. I could see Kevin being fine in like Cincinnati.
Milwaukee Brewers, like second baseman. And you're like, damn, this guy can draw a walk against really shitty NL Central pitching.
he can hit like 220. Life for Kevin be hitting 220 right now. My God.
I know he would be jumping through the hoops if he was hitting 220. I see him in the National League Central next year. He seems like a national, at least as you said, Cincinnati, maybe Chicago.
Yeah, I could see that.
Louis.
Hilarious that he was once one of the like throw-in guys for a trade.
He would hit 25 home runs. I mean, he could do it. I doubt it, but he could do it. And I think that's the last one. They don't come in order very well on TweetDeck. Surprise, surprise.
I also fucked up all our mentions by complaining through the whole Blue Jays game from our account. So
that's okay. That's what we're supposed to do as a podcast account.
That's right. Two white guys, the podcast. It's complaining time.
Hell yeah, baby. You'll listen to our thoughts. And we're not going to make the videos where the words pop up. We probably should, but we're not going to.
Yeah, no, that seems like too much work.
And who actually watches those, right?
I certainly don't.
Only people who watch those are to like quote tweet and be like, how fucking embarrassing is this garbage?
It's a whole desperate way to get engagement that I understand but also despise.
I think that's why I'm afraid to go on TikTok as well.
Oh man, there's so much good. A thing with TikTok I've noticed, and maybe it's just my algorithm, but like a lot of it's just like lies.
Yeah, sure.
Like it's just like people being like, here's a fact. And you're just like, well, I know that's like, especially in sports TikTok.
Mm.
So much of it is just like, or music TikTok is even worse. But like, so much of it is just like, Jose Bautista, bad?
Mm.
And then like a whole thing of like, he only hit like 20 home runs in his entire career. And it's like, well, I know that's not the case.
Sounds like a blast, this TikTok. I gotta tell you, I'm surprised. I thought it would play into my more, like, I do not really get into the, like, the TikTok scroll suck. I basically never look at it. I always forget that I have it on my phone, and I don't do the scrolls. But listen, I'm still on the rock of Twitter, right? I'm still,
of course, oh, I'll never log off.
I'm still sick on the drug, so
This about TikTok. I originally thought it would be like a Vine replacement, because we never really replaced Vine, because Vine was perfect. TikTok is a great platform for when you're taking a shit.
So it's almost a YouTube replacement more than it's.
That is when I look at TikTok. Why is Cassie's mad at me again? That's when I look at TikTok.
People view it differently. I get it.
There's some funny and useful stuff on there. Don't get me wrong, but like most of it's garbage.
Most of everything is garbage.
That's true. That's very true.
It's my two cents.
Most of Twitter is garbage, except for our Twitters, which are perfect and amazing.
Haven't made a bad one yet.
Never made a bad tweet in my life. And if I did, you didn't see it because I deleted it. Haha.
Goddamn right, baby. That's how it works. Yeah, anyway, that's two old white guys grumbling about which social media they do and don't
so
like.
So far today, we have grumbled that the music at Skydome is too loud.
Fact.
And TikTok is bad.
Fact.
I don't know. We should all be like Brandon Belt and listen to songs from 1994.
Beautiful.
And that's it.
Beautifully put. Speaking of which, did you go to Blink-182? No.
No, I didn't. I had COVID.
You're the only person I know that didn't go to that show. That was.
I was going to go, and then I had COVID.
There you go.
But I'm okay with it. I'm not gonna lie. I'm fine.
Look at your great time.
Did look fun, but like, I don't know.
You are a grumpy old man. This is great.
I don't see fucking Tom DeLonge again. I've seen him. Talk about aliens and poo. Oh, I've seen that. I've seen that bit.
Yeah. We can't lose our millennial audience, Jake. It's all we have.
I will say, as much as you like to say you're a grumpy old man, I see you engaging with the weird Blue Jays Twitter, and I don't understand a word of it.
I love those kids.
I don't understand a word any of you say.
I love those kids. More to come on that later on. But we should wrap it up here. We've gone long. We've rambled tonight, so we'll wrap it up with a quick whatever we do at the end anymore. I forget. We just say goodbye.
We haven't done anything in a while.
So let's just. We don't even need to go to break. We'll just.
Yeah, let's just say see you next time.
We'll say if you want your mailbag question read in at lessthanjays on Twitter, lessthanjays@gmail.com. More content coming to the Patreon, patreon.com/lessthanjays. Man, I'm so close to having the basement done, so I can get back to more snap reactions to shows. Marking it down. I think there was a loss earlier this week that I was like, I should have on the weekend. I was like, I wanted to get it in there, but it's just not feasible with the current setup. But as I said, once the electricians come, I'll be able to get down there and actually carve out a space. There's no electricity in the basement, so I can't, or there's no like outlets.
That's fair.
So I can't plug in anywhere, and it's covered in dust, so my computer would get all huffed up. So
I'm also gonna say, it worked last time, so I'm gonna try again. I fucking dare you to call our voicemail line this week. Dare you?
I should have tweeted it out today. This was a call to voicemail type of day. We'll see how the weekend goes. 833-714-7774. Anyway, we've made it our tone of voice sound like the end of the show enough that people have probably already turned the show off.
Yeah. Oh. If you think people made it to the end of this episode, I have news for you.
I listen to lots of podcasts. Once the people are in goodbye rambling mode, and I see on the thing that it's a very short time between now and the end of the podcast, I'm like, oh, it's over. And I don't even really give it, you know.
I'm glad to hear that there are other podcasts that their goodbyes are just rambling.
Maybe. Once I get close to it, I'm out.
Fair enough. Fair
They're
enough.
Usually more succinct. They usually did that by professional radio guys and writers. Couldn't be me, baby. We keep it real.
Writers. Who do you think you are?
Buddy, I tried to read like a Leafs post-mortem article the other day, and I was like, oh, can't do it. I got like 1,000 words in, and I was like, this is exhausting. People sometimes ask me about getting back into sports media, and I was like, blogging? Do you have any
idea? My God. Could you imagine?
It would take me like 6 hours, and it would be there'd be zero information on the page. Holy cow. This is the only option. Someone pay me to ramble into a microphone. I don't get this. I'm not getting paid to do sports media. That's the
Could you imagine being a sports blogger in 2023 with us?
No. You and I? No.
Crazy. Crazy.
Anyway, that's enough sabotage, I think, for one day.
Standard.
Standard. We will be back next week. Geez, as I said, Baltimore and then the Rays. So our moods can be one of three things. Not looking great right now. So we'll see how that improves over the next week. As always, we thank you so much for being a part of the show and listening and subscribing wherever you get your subscriber things. That's it. Thank you so much for being a part of Less Than Jays.